The growth of ad blocking reflects much bigger trends, which are chronicled this week in the Digital News Report Australia. We're one of 13 countries surveyed in a gigantic snapshot of where we're getting our news and how. And one of the findings is that television and social media are now almost equally important as news sources. Matthew Ricketson's Professor of Journalism at Canberra University.
Yeah, no, that is extraordinary, isn't it? It's only a decade ago that you would have said TV is what most people in the country sit down with every night. The growth of social media is an extraordinary factor, and it's both growing apace, and it is also one of the ways increasingly that people not only gain access to media and news, but also what they then do with it, whether they share it with friends or comment about it or post a picture that's from a news site or whatever.
Yeah, so Facebook and Twitter, I imagine, are the two big ones there, but Instagram and others as well. The other thing that's slightly surprising, Matthew, is the 24-hour news TV channels.
Well, it's interesting. It's there at nearly 47%, and it's a little bit tricky to work out to what extent do people differentiate between TV, as in, say, the 6 o'clock news, and TV that's there wherever they go out, you know, whether they're in an airport lounge or whether they're sitting in a cafe somewhere. And so I think that's one of the things that's happening, and the ubiquity of these TV outlets sitting in all sorts of public places now.
One of the other things that emerges is that younger people, so we're talking about under 25-year-olds, they overwhelmingly are choosing online platforms for their news, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. The printed newspaper as such, I mean, obviously, if you're in the news media business, you know that still a lot of what is swimming around in the media ecosystem originates in a newspaper article. But first, that is diminishing. And secondly, people are getting their news and information from online increasingly because it's ubiquitous.
That is something that is underlined in this report in terms of Australia. We are more likely to get our news via smartphone than anyone else in the world.
Well, that's true. And it reflects that history in this country for some years now of being early, quick, and almost fervent adopters of new technologies.
Another thing that was quite marked in terms of Australia versus the rest was this tendency to look outward, to be interested in the world.
Yeah, and that's interesting. One of my our colleagues from Reuters over in England, Nick Newman, he commented on that in a part of the report where we asked for people to do commentaries on the various findings. His idea of why that was the case, because it's the highest rate of interest for a news topic among all the different news topics, whether it's interest in sport or business or general news or local news or even entertainment and celebrity news. I mean, it was 75% of people saying they ranked international news as very important. So at first it's counterintuitive, but Nick Newman's view was that this was at least partly because of where we are in the world and we've always needed down under to kind of be looking outward. I think there's something in that. That's something that wouldn't have occurred to me as an Australian. But to be honest, with this particular finding, I'm unsure about it because it does seem to run counterintuitive to my experience in the news media business. But it's certainly what was shown. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Matthew. On the other hand, I had no problem at all believing that interest in political news ranks lower here than anywhere else surveyed.
I'll go the other way because I actually was surprised by that. We all saw, well, not all, but some people saw the second episode of The Killing Season, and certainly the first episode rated extremely well. And I remember before the 2010 election, because the notion that political news is not something that people are interested in is pretty well entrenched in Australia, but I don't know that it's borne out by the figures. In the 2010, if you remember, there were debates between the political leaders, and they were watched by about 3.5 million people around the country when you combined the ABC viewership and that on Sky News. Like, it was a very big number. So I'm sceptical about that figure. Probably with these things, they bear further looking into, and it's something that what we would do for next year's survey is to drill down into that a bit deeper to see if we can find out what's going on there.
Another thing that in which it looks like we're different to other places is that we seem to be keener than anyone else on what you might call the digital-born news brands. So this is not so much The Age or The Australian, but others. But even that finding isn't quite what it seems, I understand.
Well, it's we're talking, it seems, mainly about Nine, MSN and Yahoo and sites like that. And one of the things about them is that they have been in place in this country for quite a long time. So I wasn't enormously surprised by that. To me, one of the most interesting findings was the extent to which people are getting access through mobile and through social media sites like Facebook. That is absolutely taking off at a great pace. And in a sense, they're starting to do their own both aggregating and curating and sorting and sifting of their news sources. A colleague of mine at the university, Glenn Fuller, has called this the feed. You know, whereas it used to be a television network, you would go to the television network. Now, what he calls the feed is where you have all this stuff feeding in and out, and it includes not only news but all sorts of other things happening in your life, and you process it all day long and interact with it all day long.
What implications does it have for media businesses trying to make a buck, trying good to survive,
question.
Actually, Matthew?
Yeah, good question. And this is the most difficult one of all, isn't it? Because you might have seen the annual PricewaterhouseCoopers survey, which comes out each year. That also points to some pretty difficult numbers for the mainstream media companies, because clearly their circulation for newspapers and so on is going down, and yet they are getting more and more viewers or listeners or readers digitally, but the vast majority of them aren't paying. And those that are choosing to pay are not paying vast amounts. And the kind of advertising revenue that you can earn online through digital is less compared to what it used to be in newspapers, where the newspaper companies had a virtual monopoly. So the other point I'd really like to make here in this context is that, in a sense, we as consumers have never really paid the price of what media is worth. That is, it's always been subsidised either by advertising, classified or display, or even subscription prices haven't fully covered the costs, because with magazines and newspapers and so on, there's all the advertising in it. So then you have television, free-to-air by definition. We get that with advertising. So we've never really had a habit. People think this is a new phenomenon, but it's not. We've never really had a habit of paying what you might call full price. The only media form really, in a sense, that is what you might call pay-per-view is a book, where there's no advertising in it and you pay for the content in a book.
Matthew Ricketson from the University of Canberra. I spoke to him via Skype. If you want to find out more about the report, and it's worth reading, go to our website at abc.net.au/radionational. This is The Media Report with me, Richard Adie.